You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man, I hope you are ready, because it is Monday night in the state of Wisconsin, and I am ready to go. I'm very excited. I got a great show for you guys tonight. We are kicking things off. Another gorgeous, gorgeous fall day here in the state of Wisconsin. Absolutely beautiful today. Sunny. Little bit of a nice breeze coming in off the lake. Maybe if we're lucky, Conrad will give us one of his forecasts at some point tonight.
It's cold.
You think you could rally that?
It's cold.
Okay. So just think about it, you know.
No, it's cold. I'm done.
But a gorgeous, gorgeous day and a great weekend. Hopefully you guys are ready to talk some entertainment and movies and TV and music and comedy, maybe a little sports. I know Packer fans are probably revved up. Your guy, Jordan Love,
yep.
J-Lo, if you will,
no,
did something neither one of those other two dudes did last night. That was a pretty impressive outing.
It was like second half was totally different team.
Yeah.
They just came out and never looked back. It's like the defense stepped up huge too as well.
He just looks like, whatever. Let's play some football.
He's very calm.
It's unbelievable.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, that was big. And I'm sure Packer, not that you're torn, but Aaron Rodgers had a good run here. He's kind of a weird dude. And I gotta say, I don't mind seeing him lose, probably because of years of inflicted pain as a Bears fan. But the guy is like, you know, he wanted that really bad. He said the right things after the game, but oh my God, you could tell he wanted to win that game.
Well, you know, it was funny. He said after the game that he'd use a silent count because the Go Pack Go chants were actually really loud in Pittsburgh.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to? That are road trippers?
The Packers fans, they travel well, especially against Aaron Rodgers. They were like, oh, we're going to this game.
You know, that's a good point. But like, I feel like in Tennessee, maybe, but like Pittsburgh, like their fans are right up there with anybody's. All the fans are great. I'm just saying, like Pittsburgh, that surprises me that they would sell their tickets to, I don't know.
You know what surprised me very much yesterday was the Bears losing to the Ravens. I did not see that coming.
I don't think anybody did.
Tyson Bagent. Okay.
Probably not ready for that, but yeah, Tyler Huntley came out and looked like an all-pro.
Yes, he did.
So that was fun. Very, very strange. Very weird. Like, how do you come down? How do you put two great drives together? You come up with 3 points each time, which is not good, but the drives look beautiful. And then you fall apart. Is that just pregame planning? Like you've got the first couple drives planned out and the plays picked, and then you suck after that? Like they look like the same old Bears. They don't look like this offensive mastermind is coaching them. It's the same plays.
It's not the same team that we, 2 weeks.
Right.
2 weeks in a row, they look pretty good, and then just totally different this week. They got to go back.
I'll tell you another thing, though, that I do think, and I don't know, does LaFleur get enough credit? He's a brilliant play caller.
It's funny. It's like, he is. There's some plays that you're like, did we need a screen on 3rd and 12? I don't know. Do we need to go, but people just like totally change up. We have this great game that we did yesterday. Matt LaFleur is great. And then the next game was like, we still win, but it's like 3 points. You're like, fire Matt LaFleur. I'm like, what?
You guys are spoiled.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think his name gets mentioned. You hear Sean McVay, the guy in San Francisco. You hear Ben Johnson because of what he did in Detroit. You don't hear Matt LaFleur when you hear the offensive geniuses. But I think he is right up there with, every time I watch them play, I'm like, that was a great play. He just has a varied playbook, and I think that's helped. And all of your play callers, from Holmgren to McCarthy, and now LaFleur. Like, you've had good luck with quarterbacks. You've also had great luck with coaches.
Yeah.
So that to me is really the miracle of a 30-year run where you got a quarterback paired up with a great coach. Because I think you can have a great coach and a not so good quarterback and the quarterback could look pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I will say this, you know, there is one person I cheer for besides any Packers players, and that's Jonathan Taylor.
Oh yeah, sure.
Because he's a, you know, a Badger.
Yeah.
And he's great. He's an MVP runner this
year. Fantastic. So, yeah, anyway. Well, great show tonight, folks. You're here on a good night. Hopefully, if you have the Monday blues, let me do my best to get rid of them. And if you're in a great mood, hopefully we will keep that going for you. We've got three guests tonight, and I'm pretty excited to have every one of them here. Dustin Mack will be here. Dustin is the executive director of the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. That just sounds like a cool museum.
Yes, it does.
And it's a great facility. Have you ever seen that facility?
I have. Well, I think I drove past it.
It's unbelievable. Our pal Frank Anderson, who's a regular on the show, had an office there for a long time. It's just this, I think it's an old monastery, but we'll ask Dustin about that. He will be here. We're going to talk about a really cool Houdini exhibit. We're ramping up towards Halloween here. Houdini has a mystery about him. We'll talk with Dustin about their really cool and interactive Houdini exhibit that starts, I want to say, on Wednesday, I think. But we'll talk to Dustin about that. And then, keeping the creep going, this guy's not a creep, but he's promoting the creepy. And just in time for Halloween, it's, I didn't look up the, you got to help me out here. Emil?
Yeah, I should have been more prepared as well.
You sent me the pronunciation.
Okay, Bert a lot.
So just like it sounds.
Yes.
You could have just said Pete, just like it sounds.
I had to go back to the email myself quick. It's Emil Bertelot.
It's a much more cool and exotic name than mine. That's all I know. Emil will be here at 7:05. He's the creative director of the Ghost Boat Tours in Wisconsin Dells. And this sounds so cool. They have a video on their website, and I was watching it today. They go into this area called Coldwater Canyon. They have these limestone canyons lit, and they have like these standing dead people. It looks so creepy. Like, I assumed you stayed in the boat. Like people get off the boat. It's really cool. So if you're in the Wisconsin Dells area, this might be something you want to check out this week leading up to the big day of Halloween. Emil Bertelot will be here at 7:05. And then we've got someone to rock the studio tonight, and it's going to be FunCon. 7:20, musician, singer, songwriter, Strategic joins me here at 7:20. We'll talk to Strategic. He is a Northeast Wisconsin-based musician. So that'll be fun. That's three guests for the price of, well, none. This is free. People don't really pay to listen to this show. So that'll be fun. We've got a great question tonight. And you know what, Con? I think it's time we get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is an actor or actress you think should be more well-known? There's a lot of them out there, like people that just have these great movies. And what made me think of this question was the actor Cary Elwes, who was in The Princess Bride. He played the prince opposite Robin Wright Penn at the time, and he was the guy that kept saying, "As you wish." And he was great. He was great in that role. Handsome guy, gets comedy. And I always thought, man, you know, he just had a good career, but I always thought he would be like an A-list star. So it got me thinking, who is an actor or actress you think should be more well-known? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can drop us a comment on the app or a stream comment if you're watching the radio at YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twitter. Let us know. Give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined while you're there on any of our social media platforms, and let us know who you think should be a more famous, well-known, however you want to say it, actor or actress. There's a lot of them out there. And I'm going to say William Peterson. He's a guy who I said Cary Elwes, he kind of inspired the question, but William Peterson, and you guys probably know him from the CSI series. He was like the lead forensic guy, but, and he was good. But in the movie To Live and Die in L.A., and Manhunter. He is spectacular. He's intense. He's like this. He's just so charismatic. And not over the top, just a really solid actor. Grew up in the Chicago area, became a Chicago theater actor, co-founded the Remains Theater Company, and he's great. So I say William Peterson. Question inspired by Carrie Always. Who do you say, Con?
I said Dylan O'Brien.
Who is that? I know that actor, yeah, but I can't place his face.
He has some great, great roles.
Okay.
He was the main person in the Maze Runner series.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I feel like they're movies, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I saw the first one.
Yeah, but they're based off books. But the Maze Runner series is fantastic. But he was also in Love and Monsters, which is a fantastic film. He just actually... I think he should be... He does a really good job in them. I feel like he should be in some bigger roles, if I should say. And he has a new one with... what's her name? It's directed by Sam Raimi, and it's called Send Help, and it looks fantastic.
Okay, Dylan O'Brien, I got news for you, buddy. He's like 151 on the IMDb Pro star meter.
Oh, really?
he's big.
Well, I mean he has a brand new film that could be, you know.
Send Help, yeah. He plays Bradley Preston. That's a Sam Raimi film. Like, yeah, Sam Raimi. All right,
the trailer looks crazy. It looks, definitely going to see this in theaters.
When does this open?
I believe next year.
Oh, January. That seems like a good Halloween movie. Yeah, he's arrived, but I agree. He's not a household name. Like, I had to look him up.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's got a lot of stuff coming out, and sometimes the star meter on IMDb Pro kind of predicts that in a way. Like, he might not be the biggest star right now, but your guy might be on his way there.
I do believe that his films that he's been in, he's fantastic in them. That's why I chose him.
He's got a cool name, too.
Yeah.
Dylan O'Brien. That's the name Jerry Seinfeld wanted when he and George stole the limo and they found out that he was like, Dylan O'Brien was like a white supremacist who was supposed to give a speech at Madison Square Garden, and the two thugs in the limo with him think they're them, but they're not, obviously. They're Jerry and George. So, all right. So let us know what your response is. Who should be a more well-known actor or actress in your opinion? Lots of fun stuff. I saw this great list. You know, let's get to the list after the break. I will say, here's what bugs me. Commercials in general are driving me crazy. But did you see the Jonas Brothers concert the other night?
No.
It was interrupted by the World Series. But this is like the Bill Burr joke, how they take a moment to stand up to cancer. It was like a 15-minute break in the middle of the game. I didn't know they did that. Was that a first? You're not watching the World Series.
I'm not. Basketball
aren't
just came
like,
back.
Aren't you like co-host of Make the Call? Don't you have to stay up on all this stuff?
Well, you know, Wisconsin sports aren't in it anymore, so I'm keeping up with the Bucks and the Packers.
Yeah, whatever. But this is, they did this, the Jonas Brothers played a song, everybody's standing up, they got a candle, and all right, we're going to do a break. I'm going to come back, I'm going to complain about a paper towel commercial, folks. You won't want to miss that. And then I'm going to tell you who... some Saturday Night Live hosts who have been banned from the show. It's insane. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Right. Let you know, girl, you're looking good. You're out of sight. All right, just move yourself and glide like a 747 and you lose yourself in the sky.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Just getting in the mood here for Halloween tonight here at Nightlight on a Monday. Great to have you with me. I'm Pete Schwabe. And the question of the night is, who do you think who should be a bigger star, actress or actor, or more famous or more respected, however you want to approach it, someone you feel is a little underrepresented. And I said William Peterson of Manhunter and To Live and Die in L.A. He eventually went on to find bigger fame and paychecks with CSI, the CSI series, but a great actor. Conrad said Dylan O'Brien, who is apparently on his way to and kind of a hotshot right now in Hollywood. But let us know who you think at 855-752-4842. Or you can drop us a comment on the app or on the stream if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. And also, folks, if you haven't yet, think about subscribing to Civic Media Today. Civic Media recently launched a new, brand new, that is, daily email newsletter on Substack. It will connect you to all of the terrific content we have here at Civic Media across the network. You can find out about your favorite hosts and shows and all that kind of stuff and get updates in your inbox every weekday. We'll connect you to news stories, podcast feeds, live streams. We've got it all. Check out the Civic Media Today newsletter and become a subscriber. It's good stuff. Conrad, are you a subscriber?
I am.
Really?
I get them daily, yeah.
Do you really? I got to do that, too. I've been meaning to do that. Now I just read my own announcement, and I'll still need a reminder later when the show is over. I just go to the website anyway, but I need to subscribe to that. Absolutely. Okay, so we got the question, and I don't know. Let's read some text. I have to tell you first. Okay, this World Series game, here's my problem. It seems like they're selling more ad space for all sporting events. It really takes the fun out of, you know, an NFL game is an hour. The broadcast is 3.5 hours. It's too much. And I noticed this during the World Series, how stupid commercials are. This one in particular was for a paper towel. Let me ask you something, Con. When you go to the store to buy paper towels, do you have a brand you prefer?
I just pick whatever's the cheapest.
Exactly. Paper towels, on these commercials, folks, paper towel companies, you don't have to show someone cleaning up the spill. Just tell us it works and how much it is. I would respect them more. I see this a hand model, using the paper towel to clean water off a table. No one is at home going, wow, what a towel.
We need to get that now.
Yeah, honey, add this to the list. In fact, pause the game. I'm going to hit the grocery store. I mean, all paper towels clean messes. And I just wonder, like, nobody has a preference. Like, I know you got your favorite pizza or beer or soda, but a paper towel? I've never been hanging out with a bunch of dudes, and one of them says, no, dude, I will only buy Bounty. It's the quicker picker-upper. I could be way off, but I cannot stand ads anymore in general. I just hate being sold stuff.
I had to look this up because I remember this when I was a kid. Do you remember the infomercial for ShamWow?
I do, yeah. Those late night infomercials are so great. Grab some of that. We'll play that tomorrow. That was a great one, right?
ShamWow actually works really well, supposedly. Like, it actually does what it says.
What does it clean again?
Well, it's like a towel, but you can, it just wrings out and then it's perfectly dry again.
That's insanity. That's paper towel sciencing gone amok. I love it. Let's read some of our texts before we get to our first guest, who is Dustin Mack from the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. We're going to talk Houdini in just a few minutes. Ghost Boat Tours at 7:05 with Emil Bertolotte. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Dells Ghost Boat Tour. Boy, that's a mouthful. Ghost Boat Tours.
Yeah.
And then Strategic in studio at 7:20, performing live. That'll be really cool. I love in-studio live entertainment. We go to the social media responses to our question tonight, which is, what actor or actress do you think should be more famous? Amanda Nimmer went crazy with this. Alex Saxon? You know who that is?
You know, I looked these up before and I already forgot their faces.
Yeah. Penn Badgley and Luke Cook. We could probably figure this out if we know Amanda's pattern for TV watching.
Penn Badgley?
Mm-hmm.
That one sounds really familiar.
That's a cool name. That's why I never made it as a famous actor. Pete Schwabba. It's not right.
It's the main character, I believe, in You.
Penn Badgley?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Amanda was a You fan. Tim Baker says, Bob. Well done, Tim.
Exactly.
He does deserve a lot more respect. Our pal Ezekiel Drews, filmmaker, Milwaukee-based filmmaker, says Dan Davies. These guys, I will say, these guys promote each other. all these like all these East Coast Wisconsin filmmakers. You got Dan Davies, Craig Kinnett, JB Thompson, guy behind the guy, Ezekiel. They support each other. It's a nice, tight network. Dan Davies responds saying, I am wildly famous in West Africa, primarily Nigeria and Ghana, and parts of Europe. But in America, only 9 bartenders and my garbage man, a.k.a. sanitation engineer, know who the hell I am. I mean,
I don't know. There's 2 radio guys who know who you are.
We know who you are, Dan. Maybe you move. Maybe go over there. Dan can't even go to the bathroom in Africa. And, you know, that's where your fan base is. I think Dan's got quite a few fans here, too. But Ezekiel says, Dan Davies, you could always be more famous, clarifying. So there you go. So let us know, folks, who your favorite or who you think should be more famous when it comes to actors or actresses. Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, Conrad, this is in to what we were talking about earlier. He says, Conrad, remember the last quarterback to beat the Steelers was Bart Starr. Is that true?
Yeah. Wait, no. Aaron Rodgers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
He beat them last night, too. Tom also says, at Pittsburgh, Tom says, Jonathan Taylor, yes.
Yeah.
And says, now Jordy.
Nelson?
Jordy Nelson? Okay. Edward in the 414 says, Robert Davi, pockmarked face FBI agent Johnson in Die Hard. Yeah, he was great. Kind of like a great character actor. Keep those texts coming, folks. We're coming right back to talk about Houdini. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Happy Monday, everybody, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back. This is Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. Our question of the night is, who is an actress or actor that you think should be more well-known? Either respected, famous, however you want to couch it. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Edward in the 414 told us Robert Davi. That's a great one. Brett in Brown Deer says Aubrey Plaza. She plays a great psycho chick. Check out the movie, Honey, Don't. Great lesbian action, too. Maybe that should be a question one night, Con. Just what's a movie with great lesbian action? If Brett wrote the questions, I think that's what it'd be. Aubrey Plaza is good, but I think she's kind of around where she should be fame-wise. She was great in White Lotus. Was she in Parks and Rec?
Yes, she was. Yeah.
She's very good. That's a great answer, Brett, with or without the lesbian stuff. Thank you, sir. We'll get to more of your texts in just a little while. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome the executive director of Appleton's History Museum at the Castle to talk a little Houdini, Mr. Dustin Mack. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great to have you here. And it sounds like, you know, this is so great. I was looking at the museum and all the stuff you guys have coming up. Before we get into Houdini, can you tell us a little bit about the space, the facility that is the castle?
Yeah, so right now I'm sitting in a building that's over 100 years old. It's the castle, as we call it. So it was built as a Masonic temple. So it was a fraternal organization, men only, and it was meant as, you know, like a play space for them, essentially. It was a place for them to have their meetings, do civic events. There's a giant dance floor here so they could hold dances. Wow. And then kind of the higher up you go on the building, the more off limits it was to people who weren't Masons. And, you know, that's where they would have kind of their ceremonies and that sort of thing.
Very cool. It's a really cool space. I had a friend, Frank Anderson, had an office there. There are recording artists there, right, throughout the castle? Do I have the right place?
No, we've done a lot of musical events here in the past. I'm not real musical myself, but I've been told that the kind of our Ogilvy Hall is our main hall where the Masons had their ceremonies, has great acoustics. And so we've done lots and lots of different musical things here, but no recording that I know of.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Can you think of an actor or actress that you think should be more famous, Dustin, or do you have a favorite performer?
Oh gosh.
If you weren't expecting that question,
no, I wasn't expecting it. I'm gonna, you know what? The topic of the day is Houdini. So the more people who are interested in Houdini, I'd say him as an actor, although okay. most of his movies were not good. He was sure trying.
Yeah. Very well done. All right. You have this great exhibit about Houdini called AKA Houdini. And you kind of just did, but give us a little background on the man and his connection to Appleton before we get into the exhibit, if you would.
Sure. So he's a legendary escape artist, a magician. And the reason he's connected to Appleton and to this castle is oftentimes Houdini would claim that he was born in Appleton. And that wasn't actually true. He was born in Budapest, Hungary. But he immigrated here with his family and lived in Appleton for 4 years as a child. And so he had some like really core memories here and was really comfortable. His family lived a very middle class lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then eventually they moved away. They went to Milwaukee, New York City, and basically lived in poverty after that. And the theory is that living in poverty is really what drove Houdini to his greatness, that he, you know, didn't want to live like that anymore. He wanted to be a star and make money and provide for his family. But he always remembered his time in Appleton, like really, really fondly. And so had a connection here. He came back and performed at least one time that we know of and would visit friends and that sort of thing. And so we have a large Harry Houdini collection, kind of his handcuffs, lockpicks, a straitjacket, all kinds of photographs and ephemera, that sort of thing, here at the museum. And you know, one of our most famous exhibits is called AKA Houdini, that goes through his life and his legacy.
It's so great. And it's fascinating to me that he only spent the first 4 years of his life. I mean, I can barely remember, you know, the first 4 years of my life, but he still had this affinity for Appleton. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So he lived here from age 4 till 8 is when they left. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really odd because, you know, I don't have a lot of memories that stick out from being that age either. And yet here it is, you know, it's this draw for him that kind of, he kept coming back throughout his life as this kind of idyllic place where he was comfortable. He was safe. It was a happy time for the family. And he always was kind of seeking to get back to that.
It's so interesting to me. Do you have any idea what made him? I mean, he's called a magician, but mostly he's known for his escape artist ability, right? Do you have any idea what drove him? Like you mentioned the poverty, but where his fascination with escaping handcuffs or being dropped underwater in a vest, how that happened?
So there's some local lure here in Appleton that there was a swimming hole just kind of off of College Avenue, which is, you know, Main Street here in town, in the Fox River, that they were swimming one day and that he nearly drowned in that and was kind of, you know, at the last minute pulled out and lived. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. And there's nothing that can kind of prove it. But the theory is that when that happened, he kind of then had this draw to getting close to death and being able to escape the hands of death. And especially a lot of his escapes as he got older and more famous did involve water and, you know, the concept of drowning. And so, I mean, I think it's one of those things that we can't rule out completely, that maybe it was a brush with death as a child that got him going.
That's terrifying. The water stuff.
Yeah, right?
You have this great exhibit about Houdini, and you talk about his, or you showcase or give information on his Halloween birth, and you have a detailed replica of the casket in which he was laid to rest. That's pretty morbid, but great for Halloween week, I would think.
It's a little bit creepy. It's right at the front of the exhibit. And so people always, like, the first question is like, oh my God, is Houdini buried in there? And he is not. So Houdini died on Halloween Day in 1926, and it was from appendicitis. And the casket that he was buried in was actually a prop that he used as part of his escape. So they already had it on hand and decided to go with that. So the one that we have on display here at the museum is an exact replica of what he was buried in, and it's even made by the same manufacturer and everything.
That is nuts. So the Halloween birth, is that a sort of code, or you guys turned it, or whoever it was that came up with that? That's really he died on Halloween.
Yeah. So he died on Halloween. So the exhibit kind of takes you like through his birth all the way to his death. And the exhibit really starts kind of at the end of his life with his death. And then that's really what we're left with now is this legacy, right? Of who he was in his life. And, you know, it's been, next year will be 100 years of his death. And, you know, he's still the most famous magician out there. And he's got that name recognition.
Absolutely. My guest is Dustin Mack. He is the executive director of Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. A really cool place if you haven't been there. I have not, but I was just reading about it today, and I cannot wait to visit. Tell us about the interactive experience regarding the exhibit for kids, Dustin.
This is awesome. So there's all kinds of tricks that they can experience as they go through and kind of learn along with Houdini. So one of the things that got Houdini interested in magic was when circuses were coming to town. This is before TV. This is before radio was really popularized in the late 1800s. And so when the circus came to town, that was like the big deal, right? These were the showstoppers.
Yeah.
And so he saw these circus acts here in Appleton and was really drawn to being a performer. And so one of the first performances he put on was here in Appleton for the neighborhood kids. And so we have different tricks that people can try, the kids can try, you know, balancing acts like you would see at a circus, the strongman interactive, they can give that a shot. And then as Houdini evolved in his career, became a vaudeville star, he got into, you know, jailhouse escapes, handcuffs, doing his famous metamorphosis trick where the, you know, the assistant's locked in the box and then they switch spots. And so, you know, people can go through and they can try some of these experiments for themselves, see how good they can do as compared to Houdini. And it's just really fun for the whole family.
What is that metamorphosis? Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I saw that. I was going to ask you about it anyway.
Yeah. So this is something that magicians still do today. And so the concept is that there's a box on stage and the magician will lock the assistant into this box. They close the curtain and then the curtain opens again and the assistant now is standing on stage and the magician is locked inside. And so you can go through this trick here at the History Museum. If you want to know kind of the mechanics behind the escape, you can learn that here. And if you don't want to do that, then you can skip that part too.
Who would not want to know? I would totally want to know that. That sounds fantastic.
It is by far the most popular thing in this museum. I mean, adults love it. Kids will spend all kinds of time, you know, trying to do this trick and replicate it. Houdini and his wife, Bess, mastered it essentially, and they could do it in 3 seconds. So from the point of one curtain closing to opening was 3 seconds, and nobody ever comes close to that.
That's so cool. Have you ever had a kid that couldn't get out of a straitjacket and had to go home that way?
I threaten most field trips when they come here this way. Yeah, so there's a straitjacket that they can try on and escape from. It is Velcro in the back, so in case of emergency, we can pull the tab back there. There's also a jail cell that they can go into and try to escape from. So there's a hidden key in there that they can try to find. So a lot of times, to do these sorts of escapes, Houdini would have an assistant either place a key in there or make a mold and slip it to him somehow so that he was able to kind of unlock himself to make the escape. And so people get that experience for themselves.
That's so great. Last Houdini thing for you, Dustin. You have a walking tour, and you've got one scheduled for this Wednesday at from 6 to 7:30. What's that like, and what can people see on the walking tour?
So if they want to join the tour, they can buy a ticket ahead of time on our website. You come, you do a walk downtown College Avenue, and we make kind of stops that were important to Houdini during his life here in Appleton, talk about his life and his legacy here. Part of what we talk about is the Houdini seance that takes place on Halloween night every year. So spiritualism was really big in the early 1900s when Houdini was alive. And for a minute, he kind of got into it and wanted to believe it. His mother had passed away and he wanted to reconnect with her. And what he discovered was that it wasn't true, that, you know, he felt like he was being misled. So then he went on this campaign to kind of unearth mediums and and prove that they were wrong. They were lying to people. And so him and his wife made a pact that if anybody could escape death, right, it would be the great Harry Houdini. So on the day of his death, for 10 years on that date afterwards, his wife held a seance and was looking for a special clue that only him and her knew. And she never saw it, right? She never got the clue that they had agreed to and gave up the seance. But other people have since picked it up and routinely do a seance for Houdini on Halloween night.
That's so great. Dustin, we got to do a really short break, then we'll come back and wrap things up. I got just a couple more questions for you. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hallelujah, my sweet Lord. Hallelujah. I really want to see you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, name an actor or actress you think should be more famous. Kelly Peterson, Jenna Suits. I think I'm saying that right. Kelly's been on the show before, and I can't even remember how to pronounce her last name. She says Eleanor Donahue, but she is my grandma. Okay, that's a good one, Kelly. Thank you. We have just a couple more minutes left here with our guest from the Appleton History Museum at the Castle, Mr. Dustin Mack. He's the executive director there. Dustin, I didn't want to let you go without telling us you've got a couple more big exhibits that just sound so great and so Halloween. You have the Appleton Asylum, I saw another thing. This may have passed. I don't know if it's a yearly thing or not. Spiritualists and Hauntings.
Yeah, so those are both a series of walking tours that we do every time kind of in the fall. So we do one right now that is museum after dark called Morbid Medicine. And so people come to the museum, we've got all the lights out, we've got some candles lit around, and then we go through the building and kind of make different stops along the way and showcase artifacts on kind of how medicine used to be presented and how it used to be conducted. So like we have dental equipment from the 1930s, which, you know, we'll give some people pause. there's a story about the Outagamie County insane asylum at the time and kind of what life was like there for the patients and the people that worked there. And we have, you know, some things on display that represent that. And then there's a great story about a local doctor who would go farmhouse to farmhouse. And, you know, sometimes he was conducting surgeries with whatever tools they had available.
Dental stuff, even with state-of-the-art equipment, is kind of terrifying. I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like back then. Great stuff, Dustin. Thank you so much for your time. Check out, everybody, the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. Great stuff, especially leading up to Halloween. Check out the Houdini exhibit, and let's talk again. You got such a great thing going there. Let's have you back soon, Dustin.
Yeah, hey, happy to.
All right, have a great Halloween, and thanks so much for your time tonight. All right, that's Dustin Mack. Check out the Houdini stuff. Dude, what do you know about? Is Houdini something like, you're a younger guy, Conrad? You know who Houdini was?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely,
all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Anytime when you're a kid, you talk about magic, you're like, oh,
Harry Houdini.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up at 7:05, Emil Bertolotte from Wisconsin Dells Ghost Boat Tours. He will be here. That's a creepy thing, man. I was watching the video on their website, and it just looks really fascinating. And then at 7:20, Strategic will be here in studio singing some tunes. Our question of the night, as I mentioned, name an actress or who is an actress you think or actor you think should be more famous or well-known. In the 414, Edward, who said Aubrey Plaza and then gave us a movie suggestion because there was great lesbian action, also said Robert Davi was also in The Goonies. That he was, Edward. No, that was Brett that said that about Aubrey Plaza, I think, Con.
Yes.
You got to be my fact checker. I don't want to get a text. I don't need to get sued on this show.
Yeah,
can a texter sue
me? It was Brett.
It was Brett. Okay. Edward did say, though, that Robert Davi was also in The Goonies. Yes, he was. He was scary, too. He and Joe Pantoliano, and then that actress, I can never remember her name, but she was also in Throw Mama from the Train. and could play really a really good scary person. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Anna Taylor-Joy from The Witch, Mad Max Furiosa, and Split, also Bruce Campbell. Yeah, Bruce Campbell's a total cult hero, and I love Anna Taylor-Joy, and I'm totally with you there, Tyler. She's outstanding. From the 920, Steve, he's in Florida, though. He's Conrad's dad, says, an actor-director that should be more well-known throughout the world is Pete Schwabe from Marinette, Wisconsin. Look at your dad. What a swell guy.
I think Steve wants to be on the show.
Let's get Steve on here. What can he talk about? Let's have Conrad's dad on. I think that'd be fun. And not just because he said that about my movie, but, you know, just build him up a little bit.
Just have him talk about how great the movie is the whole time.
Steve, I'll let you even write the questions, your own questions. Thank you, Steve. Much appreciated. If you're in the Madison area, December 4th, we're having a screening at the Atwood Music Hall of The Godfather of Green Bay for a good cause. More details will follow on that next week, but just in case your dad happens to be in the Madison area, Con. Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, last time the Packers beat the Steelers was with Bart Starr. In Pittsburgh now, in 2025, the love. Maybe they meant in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Tom. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite ShamWow bit was when Len Nelson and Rick McNeil tested it over the new soundboard at the WAPL radio station. The ShamWow failed epically.
Yeah, that sounds like chaos. I don't know. I didn't know, but that sounds just like a disaster.
Whether it's true or not, that's a fantastic text. Thank you, Jim. Rachel from Milwaukee, she's in the 608, says, Michael Urie is fantastic. He plays Brian in Apple TV's, in Shrinking, and played Mark in Ugly Betty. I do remember him in Ugly Betty back in the day. Rachel says he's just getting credit now with Shrinking popularity and totally deserves it. He always plays the best friend and supporting character we all need. Well done, Rachel. Thank you.
I agree. In Shrinking, he's awesome.
Good.
Yeah,
he's a good actor. I know who he is. Jim from Appleton says, Tony Shalhoub does not get the respect he deserves. I don't know if he's as famous as he should be. I think Tony Shalhoub, though, and I'm not trying to argue with you, Jim, he's a really respected actor. I think people love Tony Shalhoub inside the business and out. But I agree, he could definitely be more famous. I'm trying to get him on the show. I've reached out to his people.
Yeah, he's just like, now that Pete Schwabe.
Yeah. What does he think I am, a couch potato? Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, plus a street thing. What, you think you're Houdini? I never heard that. That's great, Tom. Great stuff. How are we doing on time, Con? My screen just went dead again.
Well, we got 20 seconds.
20 seconds? That's insanity. All right, we're coming back after the news for Act Two. It's going to be fun, folks. We're going to talk ghost boat tours in the Wisconsin Dells. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight and the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.